Welcome to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. I want to thank you for joining us on the show today. And for those of you who want to catch up on our previous episodes, remember to check us out at voanews.com. We are also on all social media platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. Now, in April of this year, the UN Human Rights Office raised concern about the increase in cases of police brutality and violence around the continent. This was especially after many countries declared states of emergency and other restrictions due to the COVID-19 pandemic. We saw an outcry in cities like Nairobi where complaints that police were brutally arresting or detaining citizens, and in some cases were killed at the hands of law enforcement. However, in Nigeria, Africa's most populous nation, local youth have been complaining for years about a special police unit known by the acronym SARS, Special Anti-Robbery Squad, constituted over 10 years ago as part of a security effort to fight crime. The police unit has instead been accused of being the perpetrators of the crimes that they are supposed to fight. Recent nationwide campaigns and protests have drawn global attention, partly due to how young Nigerians have used technology, especially social media, to highlight some of these abuses and to mobilize support of Nigerians at home and in the diaspora. Following the protests, the head of Nigeria's police announced that he was disbanding SARS, a move that came as a surprise to many and long overdue to others. However, the protests are still ongoing, with young Nigerians demanding further reforms in their police force. And joining us from Lagos to speak on some of these demands are two young Nigerian lawyers, Ayomide Atetebi and Christy Essien.
So basically, the End SARS protest is an aggregation of the voices of Nigerians, particularly young Nigerians, against the illegality and excesses of a section of the Nigerian police force referred to as the Special Anti-Robbery Squad, which was specially created to combat armed robbery and related crimes in Nigeria. But unfortunately, this unit of the police force has departed radically from the purpose for which it was created, such that the unit now, in a manner of speaking, does exactly the opposite of what they were actually established for. In other words, instead of combating armed robbery, they are the ones who now rob Nigerians. Rather than ensure that Nigerians are protected against being extorted by criminal elements among us, they are the ones who go out to extort Nigerians, especially young Nigerians. Rather than protect Nigerians from being kidnapped, they are the ones who now abduct Nigerians and subject them to all manners of dehumanizing actions. People of Nigeria, for a long time, have repeatedly demanded that the excesses of this unit of the police force should be nipped in the bud, because the police are expected to protect the lives and properties of Nigerians within the context of the law that creates them. But unfortunately, what they're saying is that they are the ones killing Nigerians. They are the ones destroying the properties of Nigerians. They are the ones instilling fear, harassing Nigerians. So this basically is what the End SARS protest is about. It is a movement against the dehumanization, the brutality, right, experienced by Nigerians in Nigeria from a unit of the police meant to protect them.
Christy, was this the first kind of the first protest against SARS? Have there been other protests over the years?
Well, to my knowledge, I stand to be corrected, but to my knowledge, this is the first time that we've had this type of protest against SARS that has gotten this type of recognition and has gotten this type of impact. So to my knowledge, this is the first of its kind. And it's actually a very significant one, because within such a short time, it has sparked up, it has gathered momentum, and we have been able to get some, you know, positive response, positive feedback from the government. So this is the first time I've heard of a SARS protest in Nigeria.
Now, is there a particular moment or situation that prompted this last protest?
Oh, yes. Prior to this ongoing protest, the SARS protest had been carried out in Nigeria. In fact, as far back as you know, 2016, right? It started as an online advocacy, right, by young Nigerians who basically got fed up, right, with all the excesses of Nigerian police. So this is not, in a manner of speaking, the first time that Nigerians have been protesting against SARS. But as Christy rightly said, this perhaps is the first time we are going so intense and getting a lot of attention from the global community. And so it is not a single event that has happened in isolation. It is a culmination of a lot of criminal actions perpetrated by Nigerian police, and Nigerians are saying, look, we have had enough of this. This is where it stops.
And why do you think that this particular protest were able to resonate with the population or gain this type of this amount of attention to the point where the police force has actually been, the SARS has actually been disbanded?
Could I come in here?
Yes, please.
Okay, you know what? I believe that this thing has been it's just like a climax. It's been a build-up, you know? It's been gathering momentum. So that's why it's come to a point where it has packed up such public outrage. Like Aya rightly said, there's no particular event that led to this particular protest. Just a series of events here and there. But I want to draw attention. I think the recent activities of the police was actually brought to light. And it was appalling. So the public had to really speak against it. You know, it was sparked by a video of a man allegedly being killed by police officers. And another recent reason for the protest is that recently three SARS officers stormed a house in Lokogoma here in Abuja to arrest a man, you know, with charges that were unknown. The man was not found. So they picked up his fiancée, who is 28 years old, Ifeoma Abugu. They took her to SARS office at Guzape. They raped her, they killed her, and dumped her body in the mortuary. Then they called her fiance to come and carry her body. So this is the situation. There have been series of events like this. I have a classmate, a lawyer too, who lost her brother, you know, to SARS. You understand? The situation has just been so terrible here in Nigeria. Basically, they harass you, they maim. They just look at you like you're a young man and you're maybe carrying a laptop, anything flashy. They call you a criminal. They arrest you. They detain you. Nobody knows your whereabouts. And then they kill you. You understand? So all these things has attacked the sensibilities of Nigerians. That's why this time around, they decided that they are going to be a voice that cannot be silenced. And they decided that they're going to demand for change and accountability from persons who are supposed to be accountable to them. So I believe that this is why this particular protest, you know, has really gained this amount of recognition. Let me put it that way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea how many people have died or who at the hands of SARS?
Too many to mention. You'd recall that I did say that SARS was established a very long time ago. And from inception, this unit has been found to abuse the power, found to abuse their office. So one cannot say that, 10 people have been killed by SARS, 20 people have been killed by SARS. There are a lot of even unrecorded murders.
Yes.
Right? Perpetrated by this unit of the police. A lot, you know, abduction of innocent people, extortion of innocent people. And what is even more appalling is how this policeman tells you to your face that we will waste you and nothing will happen.
Yes.
So, you know, in addition to what Christy said, why it resonates with Nigerians is patronage, political patronage. You can say that you have an experience of this ordeal, right? If SARS had not dealt with you personally, definitely somebody close to you, right, must have been a victim of this unit of the police. So this is why almost everybody has some horrible tale about this unit of the police, and it is why everybody is coming together to say, look, we cannot continue to allow this in this country. This is a country governed by laws. It is either we say we have laws and we abide by the laws, or we say we don't have laws and know that this isn't happening because there are no laws in Nigeria.
The police commissioner recently, after you know, days of protests, he decided to disband this unit in the police. What further reforms do you want to see in your police and further on in other security organs? Because I know that protests are still ongoing even after this weekend's announcement that the SARS, the unit had been disbanded.
Live in Nigeria, we do not only have a problem with SARS. We have a problem with the entire police system. We cannot deny the rot and the decay in the system. In response to the End SARS protest, the Inspector General of Police gave an order that all officers and men serving in the unit will be redeployed to other police commands, formations and units. We are afraid that this might not amount to much because the bad eggs may seem to be redeployed and continue unlawful practices. We, the citizens of Nigeria, mostly are crying out saying that we want erring SARS officials to be prosecuted. We want a massive reformation of the police force.
That was Christy Essien and Ayomide Atetibi, two young Nigerian lawyers. You're listening to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Now, for years, human rights groups and social justice activists in Nigeria have been drawing attention to the impunity in the country's police. Members of various security agencies, especially SARS, the Special Anti-Robbery Squad, have not been held accountable or responsible for acts of violence on the local population, especially the country's youth. Let's listen to their voices.
All the protest is all about ending police brutality. They are killing the youth so much. They are killing us every day. The SARS is going to arrest you and going to be asking for a ransom of 50,000, 100,000 from a student. How do you want us to live? We need to end this. SARS must end. Well, that's what the protest is all about. All the youth in Lagos Island are out here doing the protest. The one SARS must end. I was chased. Look at all my hand. After I was arrested, they collected 70,000 naira from me. Without anything on my phone, at Tinubu Square. It was on Monday morning.
End SARS.
SARS must end.
End SARS. Stop killing us. End SARS.
SARS must end. End SARS. Yes. They must hear our voice in one voice. SARS must end. Since, let's say, maybe 2015 up to 2020. Every year they are saying they have end SARS. And all they are saying is lie. So this 2020 will really meet them. They must end it. We must be sure that, yes, they have ended it. They say they have ended it, and we are seeing some video online where SARS are harassing some of the youth. So that is not what we want. We have to be sure that, yes, they have ended it. So SARS must end.
In the spite of telling us we want to have security, they've endangered our lives. No employment. People are trying to help themselves in this country. I'm a graduate student of UI. Yet, no job. People are thriving in this country. And now, they have been approved of stop and search without a search warrant. In which country is that? In which era? This is the 21st century. We have our rights.
Welcome back. You're listening to Upfront on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Now we're talking about the widespread protests in Nigeria on the streets of major cities like Lagos and Abuja. We also saw widespread solidarity protests in communities of Nigerians in the diaspora. Even though the country's police chief announced the disbanding of SARS and President Muhammadu Buhari promising further reforms, protests still continue. Analysts say that even though they are still skeptical about the disbanding of SARS and President Buhari speaking of further reforms, the reaction so far from the government speaks to the power and dedication of young Nigerians to this cause. Now, why it had taken this long for this kind of change to take place is what my friend, Nigerian writer and commentator Oken Dibe explains.
I wanted us to talk about this End SARS protest that we saw in Nigeria in the last couple of days. I think last week, I think they're still ongoing. Mm-hmm. Even after the police commissioner decided, say that they were going to dismantle SARS.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, based on how long over the years Nigerians have actually been calling for these for the dissolution of SARS without any success, really. Is it fair to say that these type of security outfits in the country served another purpose for other political goals and other interests in the country?
Well, SARS was set up, I believe, in 1992. Before then, there was a kind of similar unit that preceded it. And its mandate originally was to fight crime, especially armed robbery, which has been a menace in Nigeria for decades. But quickly, because of poor accountability in Nigeria, SARS devolved into a criminal enterprise itself. SARS have been known to engage in extrajudicial assassination killings. They've actually been known to rob people. And they've been known to hire themselves out to politicians for the purpose of rigging elections or dealing with political opponents. And so over the years, from time to time, the government will make a pronouncement that the SARS will be withdrawn from highways where they mount roadblocks, ostensibly to look for criminals. But really what they do is to harass, intimidate, and brutalize innocent Nigerians, basically they engage in wide-scale extortion if you don't offer them bribes quickly, or if you don't offer bribes to the extent that that will satisfy them.
And so, like you said, that it's possible that they were also serving other political interests during some critical moments in whether it's during elections or other types of political events in the country. Let me ask you this: then, what do you think compelled the police commissioner to disband them at this time around? Would you say that he felt the pressure of the young people on the streets?
Or that
maybe Buhari decided there was some political capital in responding to the demands of Nigeria's youth and therefore pushed his commissioner to disband the unit. What is it about this moment in Nigeria that explains this move?
Well, first of all, Nigerian politicians are notoriously unreceptive to the public. And so if governments were receptive to public outcry, to public interest, to public sentiment, SARS would have been disbanded years ago, not just this past week. And then there should have been extensive police reform, which has been touted by several administrations but never came to pass. What has happened, and what is happening in Nigeria, is actually almost unprecedented. It's a beautiful moment because the youth of Nigeria are famously apathetic to political events, to current events, and so they typically will engage in other dissipation and pursuits. And so the fact that the excesses, the brutalities of SARS caught their attention and became a kind of organizing cause for youth to come together and demand change in their country is unprecedented in our space. Typically, in the past, public protests have been led by labor unions, but the government, for several decades now, has found ways to neutralize labor by sponsoring pro-government entities to become labor leaders. Mm-hmm. And so these labor leaders become extremely wealthy because the government offers patronage to them. And so they actually become anti-labor in that sense. And so, and students in the 70s and 80s were, if you like, the fulcrum of public protests and so on. But again, the government did the same thing. They will go and find reprobate elements within the student body, fund them massively, and co-opt them and make them student union leaders. So for the first time, you saw an almost spontaneous outpouring of outrage by young people. And the government has never seen anything like this, and especially in view of what happened in neighboring Chad, where such protests led to the military to come out. I think that Buhari must then have instructed the Inspector General of Police to announce the disbanding of SARS. And Buhari himself has given a speech, a national broadcast. Typically, Buhari, you know, traditionally will be extremely indifferent to public outcry. And but this time around, I think there's a sense that what is happening could actually shake up the country in a very profound way.
He's feeling the moment. You were talking about Mali. Was it Mali or Chad that you're trying to respond?
I think it was Mali, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So speaking of the moment, we know the protest, we covered the protest, the Black Lives Matter protest here in the U.S. in the summer. Mm-hmm. Do you see these Black Lives Matter movements here in the U.S. as having played some sort of role in how African youth are feeling empowered to speak out on issues like police reform in their own countries?
There's no question at all that there's no question in my mind that the Black Lives Matter movement in the United States and in Europe has catalyzed what we're seeing in Nigeria. For a long time, Nigerians had resigned themselves to being brutalized, to being maimed and killed, extorted by police officers, really from the street level all the way to the highest levels. The police in Nigeria, as I said, is a criminal enterprise. And so what is called for is a more fundamental reimagining of the Nigerian police force. Mm. So the disbanding of SARS should not end it. And indeed, I think that the young people have the momentum and have the impetus. And I hope that they continue their protest to make the political leadership also accountable to the people. The kind of resources that Nigerian politicians, Nigerian leaders accumulate, amass to themselves in a country that is one of the poorest in the world is unconscionable. So this would be the time to insist, for example, that the National Assembly and state legislatures should not be full-time occupations, that the members should simply be paid for when they sit, so they should receive sitting allowance. That way, what you do is that you eliminate all the absolutely rustic, uneducated, unenlightened elements who rig themselves into those positions. A lot of them never attend any parliamentary sessions. They're busy chasing after young women, and yet they get paid sums of money that will make the U.S. president envious. Mm. You know,
get into politics too.
Precisely, they should get into politics.
We're talking about these further reforms that are necessary.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Not just in the system. Yeah.
And the thing to also push for is unlike the United States, where you have state police, you have municipal police, you have police at big colleges and universities. In Nigeria, the police is a federal, it's only at the national level. Mm. And so police have been used to rig elections. Okay. Police have been used to brutalize and intimidate and kill political opponents, and also to kill the opponents of wealthy people. The police are hired out in Nigeria. You know, so you find the wealthy people and they drive with convoys of police officers. And if they happen to hit your car and damage your car, they will actually, the police will then beat you up. And then the man who damaged your car, if he's a big person, you know, gets away with it. Mm-hmm. And so now this is an opportunity for Nigerians to say we need fundamental reforms of law enforcement and also reforms in the political area.
Would you say that the end of SARS is the beginning of finding justice for Nigerians?
The end of SARS is the very bare beginnings, okay? Because the truth is that the Nigerian police decadent, okay, in a very fundamental way, in a very, very fundamental
way.
Precisely. So SARS is simply one excessively brutal arm of the police force. By the way, they're called the police force, right? So already you get a sense that force is the dominant element in the way that they operate. So so the disbanding of SARS should be only the beginning of a very long and very deep process of reforming the entire police force and law enforcement. And I can tell you, I have spoken to somebody who was once detained in a police station, and he told me that the place is so overcrowded that when the police have new detainees come in, and you know, when they find that they have no more space, what they do is that they select a few of the detainees, take them behind the building and just shoot them to create room. And so it's been, you know, I've written about this before. I've called the Nigerian police Murder Incorporated, you know, and international organizations have documented their abuses, and it's on a scale that is heinous, you know. And so when we talk about what needs to be done, it's not anything cosmetic, okay? It has to be, again, I use the word fundamental. It's almost as if you have to change even the training, the way that the police officers are trained. If you watch the videos, you know, you find police officers being hit on the head with huge sticks and so on. So they are brutalized during their training. And so it's as if you train a dog to be rabid, precisely, and then you unleash that dog on innocent people.
Yeah.
So they give to the public the same kind of violence that they have received during their training. And if you look at police barracks in Nigeria, okay, where police officers, junior police officers live, the place is so run down, so shabby, that actually animals should not inhabit such places. So the police are treated like, on every level, like animals. And then they come out as rabid animals, and that's the way that they encounter the public. Hmm.
Yeah, you are right. It does really need a very fundamental shift in how they, you know, think about policing. Because if you're unleashing that type of individual on your community, that shows what you're thinking about the community itself, the value you put in that community. Brother Okendibe, such a blessing talking to you. Thank you very much for making time, as always.
It's always a delight, my brother Jackson.
And with that, we come to the end of our show today. I want to thank my guests, Ayomide Atetebi and Christy Essien. Many thanks also to Nigerian writer and commentator Okendibe. Many thanks to you, and I hope you connect with us on our social media platforms, especially on our Facebook page where we're almost 1 million strong. Until next time, I'll catch you right here, same time. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Goodbye, Africa.